This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray. We're going to spend some time here talking about the East Texas Lighthouse for the Blind. Craig Ellis is with us. He is Community Relations Coordinator. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I mentioned that this is kind of special to me because my grandfather taught at the Arkansas State School for the Blind, taught science. And when I was a little kid and he took me through his classroom, it was so much better than mine because it was stuffed animals and a globe that was, you know, elevated and everything was touch and
everything tactile.
I know. I loved it. I loved it. But anyway, if you had to give us kind of an overview of the Lighthouse for the Blind, what are you guys all about?
Well, the easiest place to start is our mission statement, which is empowering the blind through rehabilitation, education, training, and employment. So if you think of those as the four legs of the table, we kind of support the whole table by all of those different things. When someone first loses their vision, we offer the rehabilitation part, help them adjust to their life with lower vision, and we can move them into training with cooking, cleaning, you know, doing laundry, the basic things where they can support themselves and be independent. And then we can also go into computer training and all those kind of things to help them. If they want to go back to school or go to work or whatever they want to do,
right,
we can come up with a plan to help them. And we also have a manufacturing facility here in town that's better known as Horizon Industries, where we make paper goods, wiping towels, shop towels, napkins, things like that. Plus, we also spool and ship parachute cord. We have 14 different Department of Defense contracts. That's how we make our money.
All right.
Is selling these goods to the military. One interesting fact about those products is actually I was told that 80% of the parachute cord that our military uses in the United States comes from right here in Tyler, Texas.
Wow.
From our facility. So we're very proud of that. We can't help but be a very patriotic company.
Yeah.
Because there's a T-shirt that we wear in production that says we serve those who serve us. So we're very proud of that fact.
So when those guys jump out of a plane, they're depending on us here.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're depending on us right here. Tyler, Texas, for sure. But we're a little different than a normal nonprofit that depends on grants and fundraising, things like that. We're actually self-funded with those Department of Defense contracts. Now, we do fundraising. We do accept donations.
Oh, yeah. You'll take our money. Yeah.
We'll take the money, but we're not stacking it up. We're trying to expand programs and do more. The more money we have, the way we look at it is the more people we can serve.
How many people do you serve in our area?
The past year, we saw over 500 people that we gave training to, helped them get equipment. We helped them just anywhere we can help them to get their independence and productivity back and get their self-confidence back and all of that.
You know, you mentioned people who have lost their sight later in life. And it caused me to start thinking, if you got that diagnosis, if it happened to you, whether it's an accident or disease or whatever, once you get over the doctor's diagnosis, then you have to think, what do I do now? Where do I go? How do I start?
Yeah, I actually went through that. I'm legally blind myself. I have macular degeneration. I still have good peripheral vision, but my center vision is blurry and distorted. I haven't driven.
So you can see my friend over there in the corner.
I can see him better than I can see you.
That's fine. You're lucky in that.
Anyway, the diagnosis is rough. As much sight as I tell people, for a blind guy, I see pretty good. But even with the level of vision I've got, it was still hard because when you're having a doctor tell you can't drive anymore, I was 47 when it hit me.
Right.
And, that's a lot to take in. There's a normal depression, grief, those kind of things, self-worth, all those kind of things play into it. And then you've got to decide at some point that there's got to be more than that. That's when you reach out for training and services and to help you get back on your feet. And I mean, we can see somebody come in the door one day and you can tell by their language they're down, their body language.
Oh, sure.
That they're down. And that you can see them that same day, learn what all's available and learn that their life's not over just because they've lost vision. And you can see them walk out with their shoulders back and their head up. And that That's a good feeling.
How do they come to you? How do they find out about you? I would assume a lot of physicians and so forth are well aware of the work you guys do.
Over half of our referrals come from ophthalmologists. Mm-hmm. So optometrists are the ones that help you with your eyeglasses and those kind of things.
Right.
And then if there's something they can't do, they refer to an ophthalmologist.
Right.
The ophthalmologist will refer to us mm-hmm. once you've been diagnosed with a...
They're the guys that can do the surgery and all that sort of thing.
But if you've got a progressive permanent disease or... Mm-hmm. or injury or something like that.
Yeah.
They know that we have a low vision store in Tyler, plus we also have all the training and all that, so they know that we can help them get back on their feet. They can help them with the treatments and therapy, whatever's available, right. but we can help them with their day-to-day lives.
That was the first thing I was going to ask you about, the low vision store, because dealing with vision issues doesn't necessarily mean completely blind, as you were just describing.
Right.
Maybe you're dealing with issues that are really restricting your life in many ways.
Yeah.
What can you guys do for them?
Yeah, basically meet them where they're at and get them where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We let people tell us what their goals are, what they want out of life. And then we give them the tools and the skills to be able to do that, whether it's through the computer training or if they're elderly and just want to stay independent in their home and not mm-hmm. have to move out of their home. We can teach them things like cooking and cleaning and laundry and those kind of things with low vision. Teach them iPhone and iPad accessibility features and Android mm-hmm. as well, where they can stay connected and be able to just take care of themselves in mm-hmm. their own home. Sometimes that's the biggest need is just some – I mean, over half, obviously, of our clients are elderly. And they that's all they want is to be able to go to the mm-hmm. mailbox independently, be able to call their daughter or call their brother or, you know, just simpler things like that that mm-hmm. become hard when you lose your vision. You need to know a different way to do that, and we can teach them that different way to do that. I want to go back to something you said before about you're legally blind doesn't mean you're totally blind.
Right.
There is a progression, and there's kind of a vision's kind of on a spectrum, if you will.
Right.
So someone that's legally blind can be 20/200, best corrected, mm-hmm. all the way to total blindness. So there's a wide range that legally blind covers. So when you hear the word blind, it doesn't necessarily mean pitch black blind and they have to have a cane or a dog and that's, mm-hmm. they can't see a thing. Matter of fact, there's very few people that are actually completely, totally blind. There are such.
Sure.
But a lot of people will have, like, they can see shadows or they can have light perception or things like that. We try to figure out where they're at and what they can see and what not see, and then what kind of training they need. And we have totally blind people, completely blind, can't tell if the light's on or off, mm-hmm. that are living independently in an apartment, going to the grocery store and traveling around town and doing all those kind of things. It takes an intensive amount of training, and they have to be serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the training is available to make them as independent as possible.
I mentioned my grandfather. Ironically, it was a boarding school, the State School for the Blind, mm-hmm. and a lot of kids. And two boys who had become best friends decided they were going to run away. And they ran away. And my grandfather told me the proudest thing maybe in his whole time there was that they weren't found for about 2 weeks. They managed to elude everybody for about 2 weeks. And he said, we did our job. they were able to do that.
They got some skills at that school.
So
two blind kids getting away.
They were able to catch a train and all the rest of it. So,
yeah, in some ways, that's a great story of independence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what made him so proud. He said, we did a good job.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys are after. And I guess particularly for those that have lost all their vision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they figure, I'm never going to be on my own again. It really functions.
They're figuring that until they get to us, and we don't let that thought carry on too long.
Mm-hmm.
We let them know that they're still a productive member of society. They just have to know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to know how. When they're feeling that way, they don't have the skills and the training. But once they start and they get a feeling for what we're offering them and all, and they go with it, and they have to work hard.
Yeah.
We can't want it more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once they want it and they work on it and work on their skills and all, just like anything else, if you want to be mm-hmm. good at something, you got to work at it.
Yeah.
You got to put in the time. And once they do that, they can, I mean, I know totally blind people will cross Broadway at the Loop and they can't see anything. I wouldn't do that when I had 20/20 vision.
Yeah, I understand.
And they're doing it. So I really admire them, but they listen for traffic patterns.
Uh-huh.
instead of seeing the light say walk or don't walk, they know when that light's going to change by listening to the traffic patterns, and then they can safely cross the road.
Wow.
Yeah. Something you or I wouldn't even think about, but they do it.
Well, and we talk about the despair, the being down. Mm-hmm. You have a support group for that, don't you?
Yeah, we do have a support group that meets once a month. It's on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's – I think it's the third Thursday. Don't quote me on that one. It's on our website as well, etxlighthouse.org.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a support group, and it's really growing. The last time, I think we had 20 people there mm-hmm. last time for the support group. And it's an opportunity for some of our clients to get together. They may be the only blind person they know. Mm-hmm. And they get together with other people going through the same things they're going through. Mm-hmm. And they're able to compare notes. Hey, this magnifier works best for me. You ought to try this one. Or here, try mine and see how that works. And they're actually sharing with each other on technology and basic equipment,
mm-hmm.
stories of how they overcame things, and hey, I figured this out in the kitchen for me, see if it works for you. Just all kind of things. They just start sharing among each other,
mm-hmm.
and they'll do everything from do arts and crafts. They had a karaoke day one day.
Okay.
Other things like just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we've had one or two before, but now it's gone up to 20. And I think they're expecting the same amount this next month. So, yeah, look that up on our website. It's definitely a great thing if you're legally blind and you're wanting to be around other people and figure out how to do things. Also, it's a great time to get together with other people, mm-hmm. your true peers.
But as you say, a lot of it is psychological at the beginning.
It is.
It is. Do you work with professionals, psychological professionals that can help
you? We don't at the time have a professional counselor. Usually mm-hmm. what we find is that once we just talk to them about our training mm-hmm. and all, and really the first thing we give people, I talk about all these wonderful things we do and mm-hmm. say in the training and all that kind of stuff. But the main thing we give someone when they first contact us is hope.
Yeah.
You know, and once they feel that hope,
mm-hmm.
they can kind of overcome some of that depression and fear and grief and uncertainty, because they do realize that we can help them. And usually after the first visit, it starts getting them on the right path. So by the time they do some training, we don't really need professional counseling.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to learn what they need to learn and move on.
So you just convince them it's not over.
It's not over.
One thing is over.
Yeah, and one, two, three, four of the people that do the training are actually legally blind themselves.
Ah.
So they can't pull the wool over our eyes. You know, they can't say, hey, you don't
so
understand.
To speak, yeah.
Well, yeah, I do understand, because I went through the same thing. So that really, I tell people all the time, that kind of gives us some street cred.
Yeah.
When they come in,
sure.
and they say,
I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't understand. Like, no, I went through 17 years ago what you're going mm-hmm. through right now. So,
because you were in the private sector. Yeah. I mean, you were out there in the business
yeah.
world.
Yeah.
Do you mind my asking your story?
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. I love it when somebody asks me about my story, because it gives me a chance to educate you on
yeah.
blindness. It also gives me a chance to advocate for myself and for mm-hmm. all other blind people.
Because you had a good career going.
Oh, yeah. I had several years in the meat business, as mm-hmm. a market manager for both Brookshire's and HEB in the Waco area. And then in 95, I actually bought a floor covering business from my dad.
Oh.
Now, I got all the management experience from the meat business, mm-hmm. but I actually worked for my dad for 2 or 3 years in the floor covering business before I went into that, when I was just out of high school.
Okay.
So I kind of knew, I grew up around the floor covering business, had this management experience. My dad was going to sell it. I wanted to buy it. I had to find an investor because I didn't have the money. So
mm-hmm.
I found somebody with, my dad said, more money than he had since, because he put up a bunch of money for me. Ended up buying the business, ran it successfully for 13 years, and then everybody can remember what happened in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
80% of my business was home builders at that time.
Mm.
And 80% of what I was running was a lot of money.
Yeah,
You know, and I felt really bad about it. I had to file Chapter 7. I had no choice but to mm-hmm. liquidate. I had two warehouses full of floor covering and
and nobody to buy it.
Just yeah. rocking and rolling, and then all of a sudden overnight, it was gone.
Yeah.
And so I filed Chapter 7. During the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the stress of going through that, is actually, it didn't give me MACD, but it caused it to onset about 30 years early.
Ooh.
I have the age-related macular degeneration. Mm-hmm. Usually people in their 70s or 80s before they realize they have it. I was 47 and went to an eye doctor once I couldn't read the computer screen to give the bankruptcy attorney what he needed, and he needed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of property, a lot of vendors, typical corporate bankruptcy. And he referred me to a specialist in Dallas, and that's when I was told I had macular degeneration. And I'm like, okay, what do we got to do to fix it? Well, there's no fix.
Yeah.
We can't fix it. And we're going to recommend that you stop driving. And that was like, okay, on top of the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had this going, too. I kept sending resumes out, and I had a great resume. And kept sending resumes out, but I got an interview every time I sent a resume.
Okay.
Never got a call back. And was told by a couple of the jobs that I was applying for that I was the best candidate, but I didn't even get a second interview. And it's because of the blindness.
There is the presumption you're not going to be able to handle this.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's tough because I could have handled any of those jobs I applied for. I could have handled. And so I rocked along then after that. I gave up for a while. I really did. Mm-hmm. I gave up. And the hardest part for me was not the depression and grief, which I was feeling that, but the hardest part for me was I was always in a position of leadership, and all of a sudden nobody needed me.
Yeah.
I actually lost my self-worth for a while. That's a bad place to be. Depression and grief, that's one thing, but when you totally lose your self-worth, that's another. I did that for about a year, and then I thought, you know, I've got too much to offer. I'm going to get an entry-level job. I've got 20 more years to work. At the time I was 50, and I said, I'll work my way back up. Happened to accidentally call about a warehouse supervisor job, which my resume said I was, you know, above that.
Yeah.
But I was going to get in the door, and it was a manufacturing facility, so I thought, hey.
Sure.
Well, I got on the phone. There wasn't a real good job description. And I talked to a lady in HR. And she asked me if I could come in that afternoon for an interview. And I said, well, I've got something to tell you. I want you to hold it against me, but I could be there in the morning. I can't come this afternoon. I would love to, but I'm legally blind and I don't drive, and I've got a ride tomorrow. And so I can be in Tyler at 7:30, 8 o'clock if you want me to be. And it was kind of an awkward silence on the phone.
Yeah.
And I said, hello, you know what? And the lady on the phone said, you have no idea who you're talking to, do you? Not. Thought she was kind of being a little smart with me or something. I was thinking, lady, this warehouse job has not got me really fired up, so you know, don't be smart with me. And she goes, no, she said, we're Horizon Industries, but we're part of East Texas Lighthouse, and here your vision loss is an asset. And you think I'd ever thought I was going to hear
that?
Whoa, no. So that's.
I bet that was a great line to hear.
It really was. I didn't know how to take it.
Yeah.
I just choked up and my throat got all knotted up and I didn't know. And then I finally said, what did you say? She goes, no, we're a blind agency. We with your experience and skills and all, and plus you're legally blind, I mean, slam dunk.
You're
on the team. You got to come in and interview. So, yeah, I interviewed the next morning, and I've been with them now for in my 14th year now.
Wow.
So that, but I got fortunate that I got a place that understood my blindness because the biggest problem is I tell people all the time, the sighted world, especially people that are in a position to employ, are basically ignorant about blindness. And I said, well, ignorant is kind of a strong word. All it means is uneducated.
Sure.
And that's the part that I like to, part of my job that I really like is, part of my job is educating people on blindness and what the possibilities are, and let sighted people know what kind of technology is available, what kind of software is available that makes it possible for a blind person to be very productive and very proficient in their workplace and even in school as well.
So you're the guy, really, that the those folks now newly dealing with it need to talk to.
Yeah, well, and me and some other ones, too, as well. But, if anyone, I mean, call anytime during the week. You know, call our number, 903-593-3111. Ask for me. I'd love to talk to them.
Yeah.
Just tell them, how I had a couple of conversations like that this morning, as a matter of fact, with, mm-hmm. with people that just happened to call in and I happened to answer the phone that are struggling with things. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of people out there struggling. I was 45 minutes from here, and I spent 3.5 years struggling. I was living in Wood County, and yeah. I didn't know there was a lighthouse in Tyler. I had no wow. idea. Oh. I could have been getting services that whole 3 years, but I didn't yeah. know it was here.
Sure.
Sure glad I found it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now, but, yeah, I've had all the computer training and all that kind of stuff, so I can do anything anyone else can do on a computer. I just use a magnification software to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Use a little bigger monitor than what you have in the studio here.
Yeah. I've
got a great big monitor, and it helps me to be able to operate the computer and mm-hmm. And do my job.
I recall, again, even years ago in my grandfather's class, the big magnifiers for textbooks because
yeah.
it was a school.
Yeah.
And reading a textbook, you know, scrolling through a magnifier even back then. Yeah.
We have those. There's modern versions of it
sure.
now, but there's CCTVs, and we have handheld magnifiers, electronic magnifiers, things as simple as Braille Uno cards where blind people can play Uno,
mm-hmm.
along with their friends. I mean, it looks like a regular Uno card, but it's got Braille on it as well.
Huh.
So you could play with a blind family member or friend or whatever.
Yeah.
And they could play as well. Just things like that all the way up to the higher end. There's an OCR that actually takes a picture of whatever you put under it and reads it back to you for people that are very low or no vision.
Right.
They can read their mail. I've heard there's a version of that coming out shortly that can read cursive. And that's going to be a game changer if it can. So a handwritten letter to you,
yeah.
you could actually stick under there, take a picture, and read it back.
Assuming anybody can still write in cursive.
Yeah. I don't even teach it anymore in school, I don't think.
I'm getting a strong no from my college friend here.
Okay.
So, really, whatever stage you find yourself in this process nobody wants to go through, you guys can help them out.
Yeah. The sooner they can get to us, the easier that transition is going to be. Even if they're in the process of losing more vision, they don't have to be as afraid of it as they think they do, because once they have the training and skills, mm-hmm. as their vision goes. We find that the people that have had the training and got the skills and stuff from us can more easily deal with losing more vision as it goes, because most of these diseases are progressive, you know, and
right.
at some point you're going to lose most or all your vision. It may take 5 years, it may take 40 years, but you know at some point your prognosis is to lose most of your vision,
mm-hmm.
if not all. So the knowledge you have up front is makes it easier for you. So, yeah, the sooner someone can get – we do accept people that are visually impaired, not legally blind, because if they've got a progressive disease, we can train them on it while they've got some vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then help them once they get to that legally blind stage and they start really having trouble seeing things, it's a little less stressful because they've already got the skills to
mm-hmm.
go through that. So it makes that depression and grief a lot less if they already know they can get through yeah. it.
I'm guessing, but maybe I shouldn't. Do you deal with those who were born blind?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We deal with all ages and all different ways of they've lost their vision, whether it be an accident or maybe they were in a bad car wreck,
mm-hmm.
and had a traumatic brain injury that caused their optic nerve to sever or
be injured,
damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in people that were born totally blind, or we deal with kids. Mostly school age up through elderly. You know, we one lady I remember a couple of years ago, one of our ladies taught her how to use her iPhone, a brand new iPhone, first cell phone she'd ever had. And she got an iPhone and brought it in, took the training, and she was able to check the weather, call her daughter. She wanted to be independent in her home. She was 99 years old.
Wow.
And
can the iPhone be adapted to
It doesn't need to be adapted. It's in there. You just got to know how to use it.
Oh.
There's some wonderful accessibility features in iPhone, iPad, and even in Android and Google as well.
Mm-hmm.
Formats, they do have accessibility features that are pretty easy to use once you learn how to do it.
Right.
and you use a lot of voiceover. I use a lot of voiceover with mine when I'm texting. I'll mm-hmm. do a voice text and have Siri read it back sometimes. I do voice commands. If I want to open an app, I can open it with my voice. Mm-hmm. I don't have to look for the app or anything like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's ways you can set your phone, but it's already in there. We don't download anything to it.
Oh.
We don't have to add to it. It's there.
Okay.
When it comes off the shelf, it's there. You just got to know how to use it, and that's what we can teach how to use that. Now, all of these wonderful training and education and rehab stuff mm-hmm. that we're talking about, Roger, it's all free of charge. We don't
that's
charge
the best part. Yeah,
you don't have to worry about what kind of insurance you have. We don't claim on insurance or Medicare or Medicaid. We don't care about that. We care wow. about you getting in there and getting the training you need mm-hmm. to help you gain your independence and productivity back. That's our main focus. That's what it's all about.
How many people work in your production facility?
Total company, we're about 70 people.
Okay.
The production floor, there's probably 20 that's actually on the production floor. And then there's support staff as well, purchasers and
yeah.
people making the schedules and things mm-hmm. like that. But, yeah, all together. And we have something we're proud of. We have someone that's at least legally blind in every department in our company. So uh-huh. it's not just put the blind people on the production floor.
Yeah.
We have people in IT and HR, one of our VPs, all areas. I'm in community relations, and I do public policy. I get to go to Washington, D.C. and talk to senators and representatives oh. about issues in laws that affect people who are blind and other disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get to do all that, get to travel. I was in Corpus Christi last week at a conference, and was in Minnesota last fall for a conference, and so yeah, I flew back all by myself.
Yeah,
you learn how to do that. Even though I can't read the signs, there's other ways to navigate an airport.
To
get where you need to be. So,
On a lighter note, tell me about Camp Lighthouse.
Camp Lighthouse, thank you. That is yeah. a lighter note. It is so much fun. Camp Lighthouse is for incoming freshmen, incoming seniors in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It is a week long. With Sunday, they come in Sunday afternoon and leave on Friday afternoon. They do all the same things that a normal camp would offer. They go horseback riding, they go zip lining, they go rock climbing. They do all kinds of. We teach them blind specific sports like goalball and mm-hmm. beat baseball. Plus, we also do teach them some more impactful things like self-awareness and self-advocacy and those mm-hmm. kind of things that a lot of times they need. And some of these kids that come to camp, it's the first time they've left home, and they may be in a small school. They may be the only blind person mm-hmm. in the whole school. So they feel different. They are different. They're different yeah. than everybody else in school. But they get to camp, and they meet these other kids
sure.
that are just like them. And we have seen some probably going to be lifelong friendships developed out of camp. It's a very positive thing any kid that's of that age group that's legally blind or visually impaired can apply for and qualify for the camp. And again, just like our services for the camp, there's no charge to the camper.
Ah.
No charge to the camper. We have sponsors, and we try to get more sponsors, and we have fundraising mm-hmm. for it and all that kind of stuff. It's a very expensive proposition. We're actually hosted out of UT Tyler. They
for you, but not for them. Yeah.
For us, yeah. yeah. It's very, very expensive for us, not for them. We do have some great sponsors and some mm-hmm. in-kind stuff that provide food and things like that during the week for meals and all. So it does offset some, but we're always looking for sponsors for mm-hmm. Camp Lighthouse. It's a week of definitely total impact for the kids.
Okay.
And the best feedback we've gotten from parents, and we've gotten this from more than one parent, mm-hmm. they call and say, "What did you do with my child?" There's a different child.
In a good way.
There's a different child that came back.
Where, if they want to get hold of you, how do they do that?
They can see all the stuff we've been talking about on our website, easttexaslighthouse.org, or they can call our main number, 903-593-3111.
Okay. Greg Ellis, thank you, man.
All right, thank you.
And thank you for sharing your story.
Oh, yeah,
it's quite a story.
You bet.
Thank all of you. Appreciate it. Go to the website, ktbb.com, if you want to see this show or any of the other past shows, and we will see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.